It's both a privilege and a challenge for me to present this outlook for the 2008-09 season. These are indeed interesting times. As the cotton market becomes more integrated with other global markets, there are an increasing number of variables to consider in making projections. You know, just 2 years ago when we talked about globalization, we meant the realignment of the world's textile industries, which concentrated cotton spinning in China, India, and Pakistan. Those three countries now account for about two-thirds of world cotton consumption. But recently, rising energy prices and the use of biofuels have integrated agriculture and energy markets. As one soybean analyst said recently, you can't drive your steak and eat it too. The U.S. and global markets are linked by the U.S.'s position as the world's largest cotton exporter. As long as it appeared that U.S. cotton could comfortably supply the gap between foreign consumption and production, cotton prices stayed relatively flat. Monthly spot cotton prices in the U.S., that's the red line, were averaged below 50 cents for most of the period between August 2004 and June 2007. But with world cotton stocks falling and demand for agricultural products and energy markets rising, there is greater uncertainty about whether the U.S. can continue to fulfill that role. A cotton analyst might say, you can't drive your steak and wear your shirt to. Spot cotton prices averaged just below 60 cents in December, the highest since March 2004, and the December 2008 cotton futures prices holding in the mid to upper 70s. Cotton market fundamentals are still the most important influence on cotton prices. The surge in demand for biofuels affects cotton mainly because it constrains cotton production. So what I would like to do today is pose the question that I think the market is trying to answer, and that's how much cotton does the world need from the U.S. in 2008-09, and will the U.S. supply it? This is dangerous territory, as there are many more opportunities to be wrong than right. Since one purpose of this session is to inform producers about risk, I'm going to highlight the major sources of uncertainty as I go along. I'm going to start by reviewing the world cotton situation in 2007-08. USDA's current forecasts indicate that world stocks will drop nearly 10% in 2007-08 as demand is exceeding supply. Note that these estimates are based on our December report. New estimates will be released tomorrow and are not reflected in this analysis. Declining stocks in 07-08 are one key to the 08-09 outlook because world production will need to rise in 2008 in order to meet rising demand. To review the major trends of 07-08, world production is estimated about 3% lower, and that's mainly due to the decline in U.S. production. Pakistan's production is down 14% due to excessive rain and insect problems. Production in the African franc zone is also sharply lower due to a combination of weather, price, and currency problems. And production in Australia and Turkey have been reduced by drought. Partly offsetting these reductions is an increase for India. World consumption is growing about 4%, due mainly to continued strong growth in China. Despite problems in the U.S. economy, rising incomes in developing countries, especially China and India, are supporting world demand. Turning to the U.S. in 2007-08, we saw very large beginning stocks. That's the yellow bar on the chart, the largest in 40 years, which were mostly offset by lower planted acres and production. The result is a total supply that's slightly above 2006-07. With a slightly larger supply, we're expecting that higher exports will reduce ending stocks. Since the current marketing year is not even half over, it's important to recognize developments that might limit the reduction in U.S. stocks. The most important is China's imports and their effect on U.S. exports. China is the largest customer of U.S. cotton, and the U.S. is China's biggest supplier. We expect the U.S. to export nearly 7 million bales to China this season. Excuse me. However, the level of China's import demand has proven much less predictable than that of other U.S. markets, and you can see this in the yellow shaded portion of the bars. This chart shows a projected monthly distribution of China's imports. Current purchases by China indicate that China's imports will remain weak through the first half of the season. However, the China supply-demand balance sheet for 07-08 shows production about even with last season and consumption rising. Thus, China's imports are estimated at 14.5 million bales. We anticipate that China's imports will be concentrated in the second half of the season, as they were in 2005-06 and in 2006-07. But the lag in activity does cast uncertainty on the final outcome. Many of you know about our difficulties in the China balance sheet. Despite these difficulties, there are valid reasons to think that China's imports will exceed last season's 10.6 million bales. First, growth in China's textile exports and demand for textiles remains strong, and domestic demand for textiles remains strong. Those are the two components. Second, China's mills typically buy cotton very hand-to-mouth and are likely to demand significant imports once their 2007 crop domestic supplies are committed. And finally, a buildup of stocks during the 05-06 season probably depressed 06-07 imports, and those stocks have now been depleted. In other words, that 10.6 million for last season was an artificially low number because of the large beginning stocks. The lag in China's import demand is causing U.S. export sales to lag. As of week 22 of the marketing year, commitments had reached 46% of the total needed to reach the current forecast of 16.2 million bales. But notice that the trend over recent years is for export commitments to shift to later in the marketing year, and this season's activity to date is consistent with that trend. Now, that doesn't mean we're definitely going to make the 16.2, but it does mean that it's still within the range of what we would expect based on sales and based on this trend. So to summarize, USDA's current forecast for 07-08 shows stocks falling in the U.S., in China, and in foreign countries outside of China. Comparing the forecast stocks-to-use ratio to recent history, only the U.S. is expected to have a cushion at the beginning of 2008-09, with foreign countries, including China, at low levels relative to history. So now I'm going to begin to discuss 2008-09, the outlook. In addressing 08-09, I want to point out that USDA currently has no official projections. These remarks are based on my own opinions and observations with input from other members of USDA's Interagency Cotton Estimates Committee. The first official USDA projections for 2008-09 will be presented at USDA's Outlook Forum on February 22nd. World cotton consumption will continue to grow in 2008-09, but at a slower pace, adding a potential 3% or nearly 4 million bales to reach a level of about 132 million. Over the past 5 years, world consumption has climbed rapidly, averaging nearly 6% per year, well above the long-run average of below 2%. The red line on the graph shows the annual consumption growth rates. The main factors supporting consumption have been strong world economic growth, especially rising incomes in developing countries, favorable cotton prices relative to polyester, and the liberalization of world textile trade. Consumption growth will decelerate in 08-09 due to rising cotton prices and economic problems stemming from the credit crisis in the United States. However, consumer spending in developing countries is likely to continue strong. And recent data on China's net textile exports of cotton show gains averaging 20%. So despite anecdotal information that we're hearing that China's mills are having difficulties, the data through November shows no signs of slowdown. Growth in world consumption for 2008-09 will need to be offset either by higher world production or by a further drawdown of world stocks. At the projected consumption level of 132 million bales, world stocks could fall another 3 million bales next season and still be minimally adequate. World production would need to rise about 6 million bales. However, foreign production will need to rise more than 6 million bales because U.S. production is likely to decline. So let's look for a minute at prospects for U.S. area production. Forecasting 2008 U.S. planted area is extremely difficult, with most analysts now in the 9 to 10 million acre range. The reason for the difficulty is the shifting relationships between the price of cotton and alternative crops, especially corn, soybeans, and wheat. U.S. cotton area fell 29% in 2007. The largest reductions occurred in the Southeast and Mississippi Delta, and the majority of the reduced area shifted primarily to corn and secondarily to soybeans. New crop futures price relationships in the early spring of 2007, when producers were making planning decisions, were historically high for both corn and soybeans relative to cotton, but especially so for corn. So these are the corn ratios, and here you can see the soybean ratios. Now this chart shows the same information, but compares futures prices for 2008 to the comparable relationships a year ago. In projecting area for 2008, note that cotton prices, as indicated by the December 2008 futures contract, are significantly higher than they were last spring. When compared with corn, cotton prices have risen relatively more, which suggests that corn may be a less attractive alternative than it was a year ago. On the other hand, soybeans and wheat prices have risen more than cotton prices, and double cropping of wheat with soybeans was especially attractive at winter wheat planting time. So there's no question that a significant number of traditional cotton acres will be planted to alternative crops in 2008. But with shifts taking place among four commodities, and if you count peanuts in Georgia, five commodities, it's really difficult to project the magnitude of reduction. This past fall, USDA projected cotton plantings of 10 million acres for 2008. If we use this figure as a starting point and show abandonment reverting to more normal levels and yields approximately equal to those of the current season, the U.S. could produce about 16.5 million bales, which would be a reduction of 2.5 million from 2007. However, it is also important to recognize the downside risk for both area and yield, which is why there are two projected columns on this table. At planted area of 9 million acres and with a 5-year average yield, in other words, not a trend, U.S. production would fall below 14.5 million acres, and the reduction from last year would be 5 million bales. So our question now is, can foreign production fill the gap? At the higher level of U.S. production, the 16.5 million bales, foreign production would need to rise 8.5 million bales in order to achieve that 6 million bale increase that I said we needed for the world. A review of cotton production trends in major foreign countries indicates that it would be challenging but not impossible to gain that production increase. The world's largest producer, China, is not projected to make significant gains in production due to strong demand for food crops and government concerns about food security. However, China could add another 1 to 2 million bales with slight increases in area and yields. With rising Aryan yields, India could contribute another 2 million bales. In addition, the countries which had lower production this season, due mainly to weather, price, and insect problems, and those are Pakistan, Australia, the African franc zone, and Turkey, could make a partial recovery, adding 3 to 4 million bales. And Brazil has the capacity to raise production if cotton prices are attractive, possibly another million bales. Thus, 7 to 9 million bales of foreign production are feasible with favorable prices and if the world's major cotton producers do not experience serious weather or insect problems. If, however, U.S. production falls closer to 14 million bales, as illustrated by that low production scenario with 9 million acres planted and only average yields, it would be more difficult for foreign countries to offset the U.S. loss, resulting in tighter world stocks and more support for prices. All projections of U.S. planted acreage are highly speculative at this point. The National Cotton Council will publish the results of its survey on February 8th, and the USDA March 1 Planning Survey will be published on March 31st. These surveys will provide a better indication of producers' intentions. The market's other major difficulty at this point is knowing how much world stocks outside of China are likely to be reduced in 2007-08, the most important indicator being the level of China's imports. As I stated earlier, China's imports are unlikely to pick up until later in the season. So the resolution of the world 07-08 carryover will probably not occur until after the 2008 spring planting window. If China imports only 12 million bales instead of 14.5 million, U.S. exports will be lower and stocks higher, providing larger supplies to be consumed in 2008-09. So, to summarize the key sources of uncertainty, the first is the extent of stocks drawdown in 07-08. The second is import demand by China. The third is macroeconomic developments affecting demand projections for 08-09. This outlook assumes continued positive world economic growth. If problems in the financial markets result in worldwide recession, cotton demand will be reduced and less U.S. production will be needed. The fourth is area response in the U.S. and elsewhere for 2008. And the fifth is weather conditions affecting production. One concluding comment I would like to make is about the U.S.'s role as the world's residual supplier of cotton. As the world's largest exporter, the U.S. supplies cotton at the margin, where foreign supply falls short of foreign demand. Most of the world's largest cotton consumers, such as China, India, Pakistan, Turkey, and Brazil, are also cotton producers and look to imports after their own crops are exhausted. The U.S. has a well-developed infrastructure for storage and shipment, which makes it a reliable and expeditious supplier, so the cotton tends to be stored in the U.S. until there is an immediate need. The U.S. industry also has the world's best system of price discovery and risk protection, enabling producers and merchants to withstand price variability better than their foreign counterparts. Recent history illustrates how sensitive U.S. exports and stocks are to small variations in foreign supply and demand. But the converse is also true. If U.S. exportable supplies are insufficient to meet world demand, then the U.S. domestic balance sheet will become a key driver of world prices. This concludes my remarks. I do have some copies of my paper, probably not enough. If you're interested and would like to leave me a business card, I can email it to you. I appreciate your attention and look forward to questions during the discussion period. Thank you.